You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap from the SBS newsroom for this Monday, the 21st of December 2020. Later, why electricity prices are coming down. But first, to the Australian share market, which fell today, but only just. The S&P ASX 200 at 6,669 points. That's a fall of just 0.08%. That's despite those fresh fears of COVID-19 with that cluster in Sydney. Still, we saw the travel sector impacted. Flight Centre sent Webjet off by 0.4%. Qantas, 1.8% weaker. Fortescue Metals, though, surging almost 5%. That's on the back of climbing iron ore prices. One of the worst performers was AGL Energy, losing 5.1% on a profit warning. For more, I spoke earlier with Omkar Joshi from Opal Capital Management. Omkar, the market is down today. Why?
There's a few reasons for that today. Basically, we've had a very good rally through November, so we are seeing some weakness, and that's basically continuing today. There's also what we've seen around COVID and the increasing cluster there, so that's weighing on sentiment as well. And really, as I was saying at the start, it's really a pullback from the strong rally we saw in November.
Before we go more into the cluster, let's start with some good news, though. The US Congress has reached a deal on a stimulus package. How significant is this?
Look, it's good to see that they've finally reached an agreement on the stimulus package. The only problem is that the market's been expecting this for quite some time now. So a lot of the good news is already priced in. I mean, that's why we're trading where we are, and that people are expecting a recovery. People are expecting stimulus to come through. So it's good to see that it's come through, but it's already expected.
On that growing Sydney cluster, COVID cluster, although the numbers were better today, to what extent are traders worried about that? And especially if there are any future implications on confidence, given we're seeing these border closures?
Look, it definitely undermines confidence going forward, which is not helpful at all from that perspective. In particular, I mean, we've seen the travel names today. I mean, Qantas, your Webjet, your Flight Centres in particular, being sold off quite aggressively at the start. They have rallied and recovered. Just given that, I mean, just one big cluster that came across over the last few days is not going to necessarily change the outlook for these stocks when we think about the long term or even the medium term. So while it's still challenging for all of these names in the near term, nothing really changed in the last few days. So there is still going to be a recovery. I mean, all of these names had a very strong run in the last few months on the back of vaccine announcements and expectation of recovery. And we're really seeing some of that peeling back now in that it is going to get better for them eventually, but it's not going to be that straightforward in the near term. So I think that's just all we're seeing today.
Iron ore back above 160 US. Can these levels really be sustained?
Look, I think in the short term, I mean, we've basically seen a perfect storm for iron ore. I mean, we've seen the problems in Brazil. Brazil's also had COVID issues. Vale's had production guidance that reduced a few weeks ago. And then on top of that, you've had the US dollar peeling off as well. So you've basically had everything going in iron ore's favour. And steel demand has still been quite strong as well to add to that. So from here, I guess the risk is to the downside rather than the upside. I'm not saying necessarily the iron ore price is going to peel away straight away, but the risk is definitely skewed to the downside rather than upside. So I think the theme next year is really going to be more of the cyclical sectors, the value space, really the recovery story as we come out of the other side of the pandemic. Now, the problem is a lot of this is already in the price, and that's why we are trading where we are today. And, you know, we've had a monster rally from the lows in February, lows in April, sorry. But the thing is that we are going to see more of a recovery, so probably more of a rotation out of growth into value, and we're going to see a continuation of that. But along the way, that will be quite volatile, will be quite choppy, and there will be big moves up and down along the way. So I think it's more of a continuation of what we've seen in the last 6 months, but the trajectory is probably likely to be higher.
Omkar Joshi there from Opal Capital Management. Let's talk electricity prices because they are set to fall in most parts of the country. All jurisdictions except the ACT in the national energy market are poised to save over the next 3 years. Nationally, that average saving is 9% or $120. So of the states and territories in the national energy market, so that's all of them with the exceptions of Western Australia and the Northern Territory, we'll see Queensland save about $190 over the next 3 years, New South Wales saving $29, Tasmania saving $70, South Australia saving $203, that's the biggest saving, and Victorians will save $172. There'll be a slight increase in the ACT of $45. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with Ben Barr. He is the CEO of the Australian Energy Market Commission. So national electricity prices are expected to fall by about 9% over the next 3 years. Why?
Yeah, that's right. This is the news in our annual price trends report. And so the key factor in that is we're seeing lower wholesale prices. And that's because we've got new generation coming into the market, large scale wind and solar, and also lower gas prices, which flows through to electricity prices as well.
What about consumers? Are they actually using more or less power?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. Again, it depends on what state and territory you're in. We're seeing consumers really respond to what we call distributed energy. So whether that's small-scale solar PV on your roof or battery storage, and that's having a reduction in the average consumption of consumers. One thing that we're finding as well is consumers can get bigger discounts if they contact their retailer. So one of the reasons we do this report is to outline to customers, hey, prices are falling, contact your retailer, ask for a discount, or go to energyeasy.gov.au and you can shop around for a better deal for yourself.
Now, speaking of getting a better deal, how do you actually know if you do have a good deal? Because this is one of those things that's hard to measure, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends on your individual circumstance, how many people you've got in your house. One thing we're working on in the commission is making bills simpler. So the last time we looked at this, the market has really changed over time. You know, you look at your phone and see you want to pay your bill. So we're trying to change that to make it simpler for customers. But really the best place to go and shop around for a better deal is energymadeeasy.gov.au. It's a government comparison site. Have a bill with you and you can plug in your numbers and shop around for the best deal for your individual circumstance.
And, you know, as a basic electricity pricing 101, right, how is electricity priced?
Yeah, so again, there's different components that make up the prices. The cost of generating electricity, or what we call wholesale costs. So that's, you know, whether it's a gas plant or a wind farm, how much does it cost to actually make the electricity? Then it's got to get to you. So it's got to get to a consumer. And so they're the poles and wires that come to your house. And then there's cost of actually retailing. And so depending where you are in Australia, there are default market offers set by the regulator, but also market offers which offer you discounts that you can get from your individual retailer who set those prices. And that's why it's important, a bit like your insurance, to make sure you're on the best deal every year.
Ben Barr there from the Australian Energy Market Commission. Let's talk superannuation now, because just 10 days left of the early access to super scheme, its unlikely withdrawals will hit government projections of $42 billion. APRA, that's the banking regulator, says $35.8 billion has so far been paid, with the average payment of $7,645. Almost 3.5 million people have dipped into their retirement savings, but we're being warned only to access it if needed. Here is Sarah Tindall from Rate City.
We're likely to see a spike in applications as border restrictions and COVID restrictions wreak havoc on some businesses. However, don't just raid your super to go all out at Christmas time. If the budget is tight in this silly season, try and find another way to pay for things. A 30-year-old taking out $10,000 from their super today will have $21,500 less in retirement, according to ASIC. Don't just raid your super willy-nilly. There's a lot of people that absolutely need it to get through a tough time. But if that's you, make a plan to put it back in when you're back on your feet.
That's Sally Tindall there from Rate City. And the cost of private health insurance will rise next year, costing families an extra $126 on average. That's after the federal government authorised a rise in insurance premium from next April. So the 2.74% annual increase is due to take effect from the 1st of April next year. It builds and rises of 2.92% this year and 3.25% in 2019. The government says it is the lowest annual average premium increase in 20 years. Of course, each of the different insurance providers will have different levels of increases. So check your rate. That is SBS On The Money for this Monday, the 21st of December 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.